beloved radio friends. We greet you and we welcome you in the precious name of our beloved soon-coming Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're happy to greet you and bring before you again continued studies from the Word of God relative to the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Is the coming of the Lord a certainty? Can we surely believe it? Is there any true foundation for such a conviction? We repeat with emphasis, we rest our personal conviction upon what foundation we believe is the best, and that is the Word of the Living God. We have some proofs which we can give from the Word of God. We would give no other proof. We could not substantiate any other proof. But we do not fail to believe without any doubt of assurance the Word of God is enough. We have already noted the personal promise of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that He would come again from chapter 14, verses 1 through 3 in the Gospel of John. We've had the blessed joy in our preceding message of considering the angelic confirmation as it is recorded in Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, at the very ascension of our blessed Lord from the earth to heaven above. Those two angels stood by those disciples and said, "Ye men of Galilee, why look ye steadfastly gazing into heaven? This same Jesus which is gone into heaven shall so come again in like manner as ye have seen him go." They saw him go personally. They saw him go literally. They saw him ascend bodily. The angels said it'll be the same one that's coming back. My beloved friend, will you stop and think? Will you begin to realize the Savior whom we preach to be the Savior of sinners, whether you've received Him or not, He's coming back again? And you may raise the question, if you're unsaved, what will He do with me? And my beloved believing friend, may it make a purifying effect upon your heart and life as well as mine. But we not only have the promise of the Lord Jesus, we have not only the confirmation of the angels that we can go by from the Word of God, but we have the teachings of the beloved apostles. We have teaching from the pen of the Apostle Paul. We have teaching from the beloved Apostle Peter. We find teaching from the Apostle Jude. We find teaching also from the Apostle John, and even the Apostle James, for that matter. My beloved, may I say, you can read, if you will, from Romans right through the rest of the New Testament, and you'll find the second coming of Christ repeatedly taught by the apostles there. And then, may I remind you, there is one particular epistle, the first epistle of the Thessalonians, where in every chapter you'll find the coming again of the Lord Jesus referred to. But let's consider some of the teachings of the apostles. What shall we consider first but the pen of the Apostle Paul? May I read the words of the apostle as he has written them? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I would like to read verse 51 and verse 52 only. The context that follows could be read perhaps someday in our studies. We shall refer to it very, very more considerately and in detail. But for the present, note the apostle saying in verse 51 and 52, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep," meaning in death, "but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must be put on immortality." Now this is a reference directly. It is a reference to the resurrection of the body. But oh beloved, when does that take place? It takes place at the coming again of the Lord Jesus. For in verse 57, as the beloved apostle declares this wondrous event, when the living shall be changed, when the dead in Christ shall be raised. He gives thanks to God for it, saying, thanks be to God which giveth us this victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's go to another writing of the beloved Apostle Paul. May I turn to the epistle that was perhaps the first one that he ever wrote? The first epistle to the Thessalonians. May I read to you from verse 9 and read through verse 10, where the apostle writing to the Thessalonian young believers who were saved and going on wonderfully well for the Lord, but suffering much persecution and affliction. Yet he tells concerning their testimony, they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how ye turned to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait, now note it, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath, or our deliverer from the wrath to come. My beloved, is a wonderful text, written by the beloved Apostle Paul to a troubled little company of believers, but who were faithful and devoted to Christ. And though suffering greatly for his sake, he gives them the encouragement, having turned from idols to serve the living God, they were to wait, not for the conversion of the world. My beloved, if you're waiting for that, you'll never see it in your lifetime. But to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, our deliverer from the wrath to come. My beloved friend that is listening, will he be your deliverer? Will he deliver you from that judgment of eternal wrath, which every sinner deserves, with no exception? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And every one of us are worthy of that eternal separation in the lake of fire, which burneth forever and ever, separated from God throughout all eternity because of our sins. But oh, what matchless grace and matchless love! God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. My friend, are you saved? Are you putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting him as your Savior through faith in his precious redeeming blood and the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit giving you that new birth? Are you waiting for Jesus to come back from heaven? Ah, thank God for the precious words one wrote. I'm waiting for thee, Lord, thy beauty to see, Lord. I'm waiting for thee for thy coming again. I raise the question, my friend. The beloved Apostle Paul said he's coming. The beloved Apostle Paul wrote to the believers to say, wait for Jesus to come from heaven. I raise the question to you, my friend, fellow believer, are you waiting for the Lord to come? Or are you busy, occupied with this world and the pursuits of life in such a degree that you're not waiting and watching for the Lord's return? Ah, beloved, may the Holy Spirit speak to every one of us who know the Savior. But please let me go to another scripture very briefly. In the same epistle the Apostle Paul has written, in chapter 4, and I just very briefly mention it, as Paul writes words of consolation to those who were sorrowing because of the loved ones in Christ who had been taken from their midst. But ah, says the Lord Jesus, saying in verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, the dead in Christ, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Let me just stop right there. We'll be coming back to that scripture in detail. But he tells in the continuation of the context, the Lord himself is coming down from heaven. The Lord himself is coming down. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Please, my beloved, I raise the question, what are you looking for? What are you waiting for in this life? My beloved, you ought to be looking up toward heaven, looking for the Son of God to come down from heaven. My beloved, how we need to realize, particularly we who are believers, this should be the attitude of our heart. I'm waiting for thee, Lord, thy beauty to see, Lord. My beloved, let me just please insert the message that Paul particularly refers to in this context of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That to be in that great gathering which will take place when the Lord comes for his own. You must believe that Jesus died and rose again. Note these words in verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Please let me say a word of comfort, encouragement, consolation, as well as admonition. Have you lost a loved one who was a Christian? Have you laid tenderly in the ground that loved one who knew the Lord? And have you wondered, will I meet them again? Well, here is a word of assurance how you can. For the apostle says, when Jesus comes, he's coming for that loved one. The dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. But he says, you'll not be with them unless you have that hope. How do you get such a hope? If we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Can I quote the words of Paul from 1 Corinthians 15 and the opening words of verses 3 and 4? Saying what the gospel is, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Oh, my beloved friend, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you received him as your Savior? 'Tis only thus you will have the joy of a reunion with a loved one who has gone to be with the Lord. Ah, the beloved Apostle Paul gives his testimony. Jesus is coming again. Do you believe it? Nay, we ask, are you ready for it? Blessed Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, convict and save someone, and stir the hearts of thy dear people likewise in Jesus' name, for his glory. Amen.